Many things that you do that we never even know about. We thank you for those things, and we thank you for the things that we do know about, that we do see, and that we are aware of. We praise you because your ways are perfect. Even the difficult, hard times, your ways are perfect. I so appreciate what you're doing in each one of us. I'm so thankful, Father, that you love us too much to leave us in a state that's less than what you have planned for us. And you're constantly working and constantly drawing us and constantly encouraging us and leading us. Thank you. And I pray now, Father, that you would touch every one of us today. Would you touch our eyes that we might see what maybe we haven't been able to see? Would you touch our ears so that we can hear what perhaps we haven't been able to hear before? And give us a heart that quickly and instantly obeys you. I pray, Father, that we would raise us up into mature believers that don't require you to confirm your word, but we know your voice. And when we hear your voice, we obey. Would you take us by our ankles and turn us upside down and shake free all the things that we have in our pockets and the things we've stored here, there, and everywhere, things that are hindering our love for you, our obedience, our devotion. Just shake us. Set us free. And set us back in a right position at your feet, on our faces. Yahweh, you're sending your son really soon. And you've told us not to waste one moment to express your love through us to people that we consider our enemies and to people we consider our friends. Because in your eyes, they're one and the same. Just like you poured out your love on Judas when he betrayed you. You didn't call him enemy, you called him friend. Would you do that through us? That we could begin to see people that are against us or that mistreat us or ignore us or reject us or hurt us or fill in the blank us. That we could see them as a friend. And love them with your love, especially in the days ahead when things are going to get so, so very difficult. I want to thank you for preparing us for the hour that's upon us. You've been working for years in us. And I see you turning up the heat. Or turning up the ice and bringing uncomfortable, intense situations in our lives. And I believe you're after the answer to this question. Do you really believe that I am enough for you? I know you're asking me that question and have been for a while. I can say it. Yeah, Lord, I believe you're enough. But do I really believe it? Do my actions prove it? I want to. I I want to be there. I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and step into a fiery furnace, believing that you're enough. That whether I live or die, I'll never deny you. I'll never accuse you. I'll never be offended with you. Make that true in all of us, Father. I pray, Father, that you would grant us eyes and ears that we might know how little time we have left. That we might know how important every day is. And that we might never miss another opportunity to show your love to anyone. I pray that for us. The only way that's going to happen is if you do it. Set our eyes on the goal. Set our eyes on the goal. And that's you, Father. You are and always will be the prize that awaits us. Thank you for choosing us. Everyone in this room, you've handpicked. You've chosen out of the billions of people on the earth. You've chosen us and handpicked us to be in your kingdom for such a time as this. It's not a mistake. It's all by your plans and all because of your purposes. Grant us the grace to glorify you every day that we live. Grant us the grace to be humble, to refuse to self-defend or self-protect. Grant us the grace we need. Yahweh, you've given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. You've given us yourself. We have no excuse. We stand before you with no excuse. We stand before you absolutely broken and in need of you. Be worth it all. Yahweh, it'll be worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow you every day. You'll be worth it. You are worth it. You will always be worth it. Deny myself. Pick up my cross. Follow you. Wherever you lead. choosing us. Thank you for bringing us here together to fight the good fight, to press on upward to the high calling of God. Thank you, Father. I want to thank you for this farm, the miracle that it is. You made this place possible. It wasn't Danny, it wasn't me, it was you. You did it. You are doing it. And you will do it. Every building, every person that's ever come through here, the thousands of people, it's all because of you. All the animals. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for keeping our electricity on. We have nothing to complain about. Forgive us for anything we've complained about. And teach us your ways, oh God. Forgive us for being anxious. And Father, make us a people that when we open our mouths, we're thankful. Make us a people who are the most grateful people we've ever met. Would you do that in each one of us? Teach us. Teach us your ways, oh God. Teach us your ways. You allowed almost a million, approximately, Jews to die because they complained. Teach us your ways, oh God. Teach us to fear you in a holy way. We bless your holy name. You are our Father, who is as close as the air all around us. Holy is your name, set apart, unlike any other name that exists. Your name is holy. Your kingdom truly is coming, and your will is being done on earth, even in the same measure, in the same way as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Feed us both in the natural and spiritually, relationally. Feed us, Father. This is the day that you set apart at creation. And you called it holy. And you distinguished it from all the other days. And commanded us to rest. And we rest in you today. That you will feed us. That you will deliver us from evil and from the evil one. That you will forgive our sins, even as we forgive those who've sinned against us, those who've hurt us. We forgive. We choose to forgive with the blood of Yeshua that washes away all our trespasses. You're worth it all. You're worth it all. we give you, Abba, Papa, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all power, because everything comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. And we say and declare that you are good and your ways are perfect, even when they hurt, even when they look like a cross, your ways are perfect. Even when carrying that cross gets long and hard, your ways are perfect and your ways are good. And we choose to trust you and believe that you're with us when everything around us screams that you're a million miles away. We choose to believe what you said, Yeshua. I will never leave you, and neither will I forsake you. We believe. Help our unbelief. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Papa. In the name above all other names, the name Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves, we all pray. Amen. So I want to share this dream. I think I had it 3 nights ago. It was a word from the Lord for all of us. In this dream, Danny and I were leading all of us to, we'd been called, summoned to a building, a warehouse type building. And Danny and I were in front, and there were a lot of other people that had been called, and they were there as well. But we were up at the front, we were up front and center, and there were two glass doors at this warehouse, no windows. It was a white building, and I could see through the glass doors, and the place was just one giant room, oblong this way, and the center of that room was bare. There was nothing in it, but all along the walls were couches and recliners and rocking chairs and wooden chairs and just a whole assortment. Nothing matched. Nothing. I definitely hadn't gotten in there and decorated. It was just plain. But I was so excited to go in there, I could hardly wait. The door was shut. I didn't check to see if it was locked. I knew that when the time was right, the doors would open. I just knew. And so we're standing there, and at one point I turned around to all of us, and I said something like, here's the thing. We must stay together. We must have unity. We're going to sit together. And it wasn't an option. It was no discussion. This is how it's going to be. And then I turned back around. And when I did, the door opened. All by it. There was no person. The door just went click. I heard the lock click. And the door opened. So we walk in. And other people are coming in as well in the second door. But we were all staying together, and we came in, and Danny and I stop, and I immediately, it's how I am, I did the whole big wide scan of the room. I took a video in my mind. I do that. I just, okay, I got it. So I knew the whole room. I knew what wasn't there and what was there and where, and I knew that it was really, really vital that we sit where the Lord wanted us to sit. And somebody behind me back here says, "Hey, let's sit over here." And I turn and look, and on the wall right here, the doors are where I'm standing, but the wall, long wall, there were beautiful blue velvety couches. I mean, like they would just, you laid on it, it would just wrap you up in a hug kind of couches. Just, and there was a number of them, and quickly I realized, yeah, we could all fit there and we'd all be together. So everybody, a few people back here are like, yeah, we could fit. And it'd be so comfortable and it'd be so good. And I just, one person went and flopped down on the first couch and laid out. And I said, "Get up. You'll fall asleep. Get up." So the person got up and got behind me. And then I look straight ahead. And on the wall, the far wall, there were no pictures on the wall, no signs, no nothing. Nothing. No distractions. That's what he's saying. Can't have any distraction. And on the far wall over there were like booths, like in a restaurant, but instead of having bench, a table that's attached to the wall, there was a wooden table. It wasn't attached, but it was there. And there were four chairs, two on each side, wooden, hard, not sanded, old, rickety chairs, and table to match. Small, nothing elaborate, nothing on the tables, nothing. And there was a wall of them. And I said, "That's where we're sitting." And I turned around and I said, "That's where we're sitting." And so we go, and there wasn't a big cheer. Y'all didn't go, "Oh, yeah." I didn't either. So we go and we sit, and each person four to a table. And as I'm looking at it in this dream, I was in it, but I was over here at the door watching. It was interesting. I don't know that I've done that before. But as I'm over here, I see that all of us sitting in those tables and chairs, the unique thing was that everybody had their backs to somebody else. Our back, we were covering each other's backs. We got your back expression, because we were back to back, sandwiched. I mean, it wasn't a lot of space. It wasn't anything comfortable about this situation. And the table had nothing on it, but I knew that soon the master of ceremonies, Yeshua, was going to come in, and he was going to give us our assignment, which would be our food. And then as I'm standing over here in the dream, observing and getting words of knowledge, I know that we're about to enter into a really, 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 really intense time in our nation. And that if we allow ourselves to get comfortable, we'll never be ready. That the time is now to say no to comforts. Fast is the biblical term for that. And prepare to go the long haul and to be without comfort and to be in unity, to honor each other, to have each other's backs, to do life together, that there would be no option for anybody to go off on their own. Because it would be so dangerous. That we would be so united and love each other so much that we'd be constantly, come on, you know, And we'd notice when somebody wasn't in their seat because of the way we were seated. Be easy to see that your partner wasn't there. The second thing I noticed in the dream was I immediately thought of increasing joy capacity because you do that with four people sitting at a table eating together. Two works, three works. Three's better than two. Four's a little harder. It's not as comfortable, but it still achieves that increase in your joy capacity. And if remember what I talk about, that joy capacity, whatever size your joy capacity is, that's how much trauma you can face without self-protecting, blaming somebody else, defending yourself, becoming angry, etc., etc., right? So if that's happening to you often, that means your joy capacity is pretty small. That's what that means. So in this dream, we were seated in ways to increase our joy capacity. And the Lord is saying that to us, that it's vital. It's critical. We don't have an option. We better be doing things to increase our joy capacity so that when trauma comes, it doesn't destroy us. It doesn't cause us to blame Yahweh, blame people, blame ourselves. Those of us that are ones, we first go to here. We blame ourselves before we ever blame anybody else. So that's not godly. So he's saying we must increase our joy capacity. And we all know, we've been trained, he's taught us what that looks like. Cooking together, eating together, cleaning up together, going camping, flying kites, dancing, synchronized dancing, games, puzzles. I mean, those are, we don't have an excuse, right? So working on a project together is another one, that a project that's enjoyable to if you force somebody to come garden and they don't want to garden, they ain't building any kind of joy capacity. Doing the opposite. Anyway, so he's letting us know that we're to intentionally organize ourselves to build and increase joy capacity. Be intentional. So because in the dream, he could have had one long table down the wall and we all sat like that. We didn't. He had individual four-seat booths. Very simple, very plain. Keep it simple. And then the other thing, when I was sharing this dream with Cor, I think it was Celeste, somebody, I think it was you, Celeste, said, yeah, we're on the wall. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said to me when I was standing at the door, word of knowledge, was this is all about intercession. It's all about coming together and making Yahweh front and center and honoring him and praying what he wants us to pray, not what we want to pray. I'll never forget when, you know, I had my whole long list of people I prayed for, and I was going through it, and it was lengthy, and the Lord interrupted me and said, Rhonda, don't you think that I know what Sally needs? Do you think I need you to tell me what Sally needs? I mean, it was a correction. Do you think I need you to tell me what Colleen needs, or Wanda, or any, you know, all... No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He said, think about how much time you're going to save if you'll pray the prayer Yeshua told you to pray for these people. Father, let your kingdom come, your will be done. And it covers everything. And that's more time that you have to fall on your face and worship me. So in this dream, I knew that was a part of this. That it wasn't us to just get in our emotions and start praying emotional prayers. That's wrong. Yeah. But there's a difference between praying, taking the time to get in his presence. Yahweh, Yeshua, what are you praying for? What do you want me to pray for? And we pray according to his will and his purposes. So that was part of it. The other thing, the last piece of word of knowledge was for me personally, and it had to do with me honoring the Sabbath. And for a couple of months, that thing's been floating around, and I've been looking at it and backing out, and look, you know, because I don't, I said, well, I don't dishonor it. You know, I don't work. I'll wash some dishes or I'll sweep the floor, but I'm not going to be a legalist. You know, I did the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so in this dream, when he said that, I'm like, conviction just, and the whole truth of the Sabbath being, it's not about not working. We're all off base if we think it's about that. It's about the fact that Yahweh worked, created this world for 6 days, and on the seventh day he said, it is finished, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy my creation. I'm going to be with Adam. I'm going to be with the animals. I'm going to be on the earth. I'm not going to go back to heaven on my throne. I'm going to stay here. And on that seventh day, I'm going to just be. And then he makes it a command that we do the same thing. And so I go, wow, Lord, I haven't been doing that. I've been looking at the externals. But I haven't intentionally said for 24 hours, I'm going to unplug. I'm going to turn my phone off, not open my laptop. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to be with people that you tell me to be with. People that you've brought in my life. I'm going to love them because you love them. I haven't been doing that. But I'm quick to turn. I'm quick to turn. And I'm quick to obey most of the time. All I got to know is I just got to see the truth. So I'm turning my ship. Danny and I have been talking. We've been praying, and we're together turning our ship. And on Friday evenings to Saturday evenings, my phone's going to be off. If there's an emergency, you know where I live, right? And I'm going to make the Sabbath holy again in my life. And I know that's part of the stream. I know it is. It's not comfortable. It goes against everything we've been taught. And I'll tell you what, if you do it, and if you use your phone very much, you're going to have withdrawal, because you're not going to be getting that dopamine that you get in your brain. Every time you do your finger on that screen, you get a dopamine hit in your brain, a drug. And you'll have withdrawal. The only way to stop being an addict is what?
Stop picking it up.
Stop. You just, that stop sign. Stop. Stop. And I want to say this about addiction. The Lord is at the same time speaking about, what am I addicted to? And you go, I go, first thing I said was, Lord, me? I'm not, what? What am I addicted to? I go, okay, I know. I'm addicted to myself. I get that. I'm working on it, Lord, because that is true. And I hate it. I don't want it. And I'm asking for him to change that in me. And one of the things he's shown me, and I didn't intend to go here, but I feel the Lord, so I'm going. One of the things he's shown me lately is how dangerous, and Satan knows this, how dangerous it is for us to get our focus on anything that has to do with the natural. And this whole cancer battle had so much of my attention on fighting and winning this cancer battle. And without even realizing it, it had been consuming me and creating anxiety or stress, and I got to do more, I got to do stop that or do this or what, you know, just on this crazy thing. And in that sense, you can get addicted to healing, getting healed. It's easy. It's easy. It happens and you don't even know it's happening. Getting inner healing, you can get addicted to the method, to the program, to the it's got to be or I got to, yeah. I have to get free. I have to get healed. I have to, no, you have to know him. Yeah. And be with him. And spend more time with him than you do with your problem. And if you're not, it's time for a checkup. That room and that dream was stripped of everything. Except one thing. A seat. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's all we got. And if you're not careful, there was the left side and there was the right side. You can choose the comfortable seats. And you'll fall asleep. And you'll be worthless. And Yeshua will call you foolish. And he'll leave you behind. If you're seeking to be more comfortable, you're seeking the wrong thing. So part of this journey involved, believe it or not, your physical health, which Greg's going to be sharing about this morning. Because this body that you're in is really not yours. It's Yahweh's temple. It's his house. And we're not to defile it. And there's a lot of ways to defile your body. And one of them that I think most Christians do often, and excuse it, don't even think anything about it, is their diet. And I know I've been one of them, and I still struggle. And with all the scientific evidence we have right now, we don't have an excuse. There's not one medical research, nothing out there that will tell you sugar is good for you. And sugar's not the only thing. So I really believe that picture I saw when I was praying about the Lord coming in and grabbing us by the ankle and shaking us, I believe that's where we're at as a people. But he's not going to force you. And if you say, oh man, I'm addicted to my phone, or I'm addicted to sugar, or I'm addicted to chocolate, or I'm addicted to movies, or whatever. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it is. I'm going to say this today. I believe the Lord wants you to deal with it. Stop excusing it. Stop pretending it's not bad. Stop thinking, well, it could be worse, or whatever excuse. What you're telling yourself a story. Whatever that story is you're telling yourself, it didn't come from your father. And that, well, I can't quit. It's too hard. I tried. That's a bold-faced lie. You're telling me Yahweh can't do that?
No.
Is that, that's what you're saying. If you're a Christian and he lives inside of you and you're saying, well, I've tried. I can't quit. It's a lie. What you're saying is Yahweh's not strong enough. He's not powerful enough. He can't. Or he won't. It's a lie. It's your will that stops him. You still want it. Bottom line, right, Sally?
That's right. Reasoning.
Anybody in here ever been addicted to drugs? Just no shame. Let's see your hands. Yeah. Is that true, what I just said?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Living proof.
Yeah, and it can happen in a moment.
Absolutely.
When you set your will to it, that's all he has, that's what he has to have. That's the seed for a miracle, to deliver you from evil. But you got to want it.
Yeah.
You got to want a better life, a richer life. Okay, those of you that raised your hand that were addicted to drugs, anybody in here regret getting delivered from being a drug user?
No way.
Anybody regret it? Wish you were still a drug user?
No.
Why? Why is that, Ed?
Oh, my gosh. A million things. There's freedom. I can hear. I can think. I don't have to have. I don't want to wake up every morning with, where's this? Where's that? I got it. There's just a million relationships, money, increase of health, vitality, strength, just mental clarity, like on it goes, just peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bondage.
And by the way, one more thing, there's not a weaning. It's not a weaning. It's Lord, take it now.
That's it.
I want this bad. Take it from me, Lord.
It's a cry. Yeah.
That's it.
Hear it. And we've seen miracles here.
Yeah.
We've witnessed.
We are
right, right here.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
If you say, I want to lay it at the altar, he'll take it right now.
That's right. Now, I'm not just talking about drugs.
Everything.
Sorry. I'm talking about your phone, the internet, addiction to people, addiction to going places, being busy all the time, addiction to work, addiction to food, addiction to starving yourself from food, addiction to what? What am I missing?
Affection.
Yeah.
Sex.
Happiness.
Mm-hmm. Having to be happy, doing things to make yourself feel happy. That's it. We never thought of that. That's a new one.
Carbs.
Oh, yeah. Sugar high.
Sugar high.
Yeah.
Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's, why wait? If you have been convicted that you have an addiction, and you know you do, to whatever, and you're saying, I'm sick of it, I'm done, I don't want this anymore, I need God to help me, I'm going to ask you to stand up.
I got some stuff. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to kind of
journey. Aren't we all?
Hey, Ron, let me just say this. Something God has been showing me over the last few months is that
I bet people can't hear you.
First off, the spirit of addiction is not just for one this, that, or the other thing. The spirit of addiction is a spirit, and you take it out of one area, you get deliverance there. It can jump to another. It can jump, and disguise itself. Like, you don't eat so much. Okay, great. Well, now I'm in the don't do the phone so much. Okay, well, now I'm into healing, like you're talking about.
Right.
And Rick Joyner actually said this. He said a doctor took him into a surgery one time for cancer surgery. And he said, Rick, I want you to watch this. And the guy goes in, and you start to remove the cancer. And the cancer starts moving around inside the body. Because once it was exposed, it wanted to get out of there and go to another place in the body.
Yeah,
so that the spirit of addiction is a spirit. It's not just lust or food.
Right.
It is a spirit, and the spirit needs to be taken out. Because you can jump from one affection to another.
Yep.
And I will say one more thing about the, let's see here, the sixth day or the Sabbath, sorry.
Yeah.
That so blows me away. I was watching Moses last night, okay, on TV, and because they had that going on. And Moses gets to the stone tablets, and it's all being burned out. And, you know, the normal stuff, don't lust, don't kill, don't steal.
Yep.
But then it burns out, keep the Sabbath
yeah.
holy. And this is a forever commandment. I don't know how I'm going to do that. But it jumped out like, oh, my God, this was on the stone.
Yeah.
This is a tablet. So,
exactly.
Two cents.
Written in stone. I know, Ricky.
I'll say one thing. I've heard it said, too, about addiction is like it can be seen as changing seats on the Titanic. Like the ship's still going to wreck, and it's going to go down. And people, there's suffering and death and all that. But, you know, if you get up and whether you're here on the third floor or over here in the back and wherever you're sitting on that ship, you might get up and not stop this addiction or problem. Like it was said, you know, but you go sit over here. So it's about getting off of it, like getting, stepping away, changing the direction, removing yourself. And of course, the Lord can only do that in a big thing like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot this. When she said that, it may remember this. Basically, addiction is anything you give more attention to than God.
Amen.
Period.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so good.
Exactly. Right there, Richard. Julianne.
Oh, yeah. So I was just wanted to say that I'm just so, with phones, it's what you're saying, Rhonda, it's just so convicting. Because phones, I mean, before you know it, that's a main reason I'm standing right now, is because I see how much my phone can kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
Like you're saying, you just start to scroll, and there's something that's released, and it's serious.
Yeah.
Like I just, when you said that, I just feel like this is a serious thing that you're speaking out over us for our phones, you know, or whoever's convicted, you know, like I am. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And a while ago, you had said you were preaching about little foxes, and you were talking about how the little foxes are at the bottom, and they chew up the vine until there's no Yeshua left in you.
That's right.
And I remember thinking about my phone in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like this is serious. What for me, what you're saying of
yeah.
like, you know, to learn to unplug, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
Good, Julianne.
So, I don't, my heart's just racing over here. Okay. And because this is so exciting, because imagine when we turn that scrolling, that piece of chocolate, that whatever our thing is to encounter, instead of turning. Like, we want our addiction to be on the Lord at all times. And this is exciting, you guys, because when we turn that scroll to encounter, things are going to shift.
Yes.
Not only in our hearts, but on this farm and in our nation,
yep.
y'all.
Yep.
So I'm just, like, excited.
Yeah,
and I personally believe one of the reasons the nations and the state that it's in is because we haven't honored the Sabbath in the church.
Yes.
I believe it. When we unplug, because that's a 24-hour period, you unplug and you say, I'm not of this world. I'm not going to do what the world does right now. I'm going to set my gaze on the King of Kings. And that's what it's about. I'm going to love. And I'm going to love him and let him love me. And I'm going to love other people and let them love me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deborah over here. Ed. And I agree. I want an exclamation point. I believe this is critical. Mm-hmm. I think the phone is the biggest trap the enemy has ever brought. And especially now that they know that the brain releases a drug called dopamine. That's where dope got its name. Dopamine. And so don't let your babies use your phone. Don't let them do it. Go ahead, Deborah.
I just want to say, like, thank you. Last week, the Lord asked me to turn my phone off for a whole day. And I had a reality check of, like, how much I wanted to go to it. But it was also, and there was some repentance that came, and I'm walking it out. I'm not there yet. But it was amazing to me, like, how much I wasn't connecting with him, and then how much I could that day. Uh-huh. And, like, I pulled out the old school CD and to play my music, and I just kept seeing him, and, like, go to the art room, and I just, like, it was crazy how much, like, he came. And I just, like, wept most of the day, but it was a good weeping. And so I just want to say, like, I'm thanking him, but I'm also thanking you for, like, just confirming, because, like, it's really easy to, like, step back into that. Yeah. And so may we have his grace to, like, step forward in this.
Yes, yes. Yes. Thank you, Deb.
Addictions are serious, like Deborah just pointed out, because they take the place of Yahweh.
That's right.
They become your God, whether you know it or not. All right, so Father, you see us. You see those of us who are standing, saying that we acknowledge that there are some areas in our lives we're addicted to ungodly things. And we own our sin. We call it sin. I want to encourage you to name those things. Tell the Lord what those things are that you are calling sin. And Father, we call this sin. We agree with you. And we come as your sons and daughters. And we ask you right now, Yeshua, to apply your precious, beautiful blood to every addiction, to every single time we've given in to this addiction. And we ask that your blood would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We apply as a priest, because that phone belongs to us. We have authority over it. We apply the blood of Yeshua to our phone right now. And we say to our phones, you are not my God. I will not bow my knee to you. You will not control me. I don't need you. I don't want you. And you are not my friend. Now, Father, we take all of these things that we're addicted to, and we say to them, I don't want you, I don't need you, and you are not my friend. You are not my God. You may not control me. You may no longer kill, steal, or destroy what Yahweh is doing in me. And as a priest of my own body, I say to you, the blood of Yeshua covers me. And I receive the blood of Yeshua in my body, my mind, my brain, my emotions, my will. I apply the blood of Yeshua to my willpower. And I take my willpower back from the enemy. And I say, you can no longer have my will. My will belongs to Yeshua and my Father and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for cleansing us. Because you are faithful to forgive us as we confess our sins to you and to one another. You're faithful. Now, Richard, would you be willing to lead in deliverance? It's all right. The Holy Spirit's done it recently, so you're good.
All right, here we go. All right. So right now, I speak to that spirit of addiction. And I say, you cannot run, you cannot hide, you cannot jump from one place to another. You can't go lead the people from one addiction to another and hide yourself. So I command you in the name of the Lord Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, come out. You leave this place, you leave this body, and you go to dry places now in the name of Yeshua. Go. Go. In Yeshua's name, go. Father, I thank you for exposing every time and every area that that spirit would try to come back in and lie to us and say, this is okay, this is a righteous desire. No, it's not. Anything more than you is not righteous. So I thank you for exposing it and freeing us from the lie. I break the lie off of each and every one of us in the name of Yeshua that this is okay or that is okay or that's in line with the word when it's not. So I thank you for exposing the lies in all of our lives, Lord. Thank you for exposing every one of them. And thank you for giving us the resolve and the righteous anger to stand up against it. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
I just wanted to say, too, that just the other day, I think it was the other day, the Lord was having me just unplug for a little bit, and I saw that it's like we unplug for him to come in, and I just was like, Lord, where are you? And it's him filling that place. We're not left empty. It's not like, okay, we don't have, you know, because we're putting whatever our addiction is away. It's him filling us in that place and he's faithful. He's so faithful to fill us in that place. And I was seeing that the other day that we unplug so he can fill us, so we can encounter him. And he's faithful to do it.
All right. While he's doing that. Would somebody go ahead and pass out communion? I think it'd be nice to seal what we just did with communion. So let's pass that out. And oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Go ahead, Aiden.
Well, I prayed and I asked the Lord, what addiction do I have besides the phone and besides all that? And he said, self-pride and ego. He's like, you focus on yourself a lot more than you would anything else. Right now you don't have your phone, but what do you focus on the most? And then I was like, okay, that makes sense, Lord. And I asked him, you want me to share it? And he said yes. So he just like, it's pride. And sometimes your pride flares up. If someone tells you if you're wrong, you kind of get mad at them. And he's like, so I want you to deal with that. I was like, okay, Lord. So that's what came to me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Just you acknowledging that punches pride in the face. Just you saying it.
You're not alone, Aiden. I just want to say that when Rhonda said, I don't remember what exactly we said, but I know that what I felt was self. Just focus. Oh, yeah, you said about focus on self. And I was thinking about, like okay, instantly I popped up because I was like, wait a minute. What does self-focus look like? It, like, accusation or even you know, anytime I'm looking outward, then it's really focused on self. And I got that understanding, like, you know what, because feeling hurt by someone, feeling offended, feeling whatever. But that's all about my feeling. It's not what does the Lord say. So it's not focused on him. It's focused on self. So that was one. So along those lines, just bless you to know you're probably, I don't speak for me anyway, not alone there, brother.
Yeah, for sure.
Who would like to pray over the communion this morning?
Oh Lord, God Almighty Yahweh, thank you for sending your wonderful Son to be our bread, our life, our way of life. Thank you so much. Thank you, Yeshua. As we take this bread today, we wish to honor you and remember what you have done for us, and not just today, but always and forever. Thank you. Amen.
Yes, I'm doing the cup here. So, so Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for the shed blood, giving your life on behalf of our life. Father, it's an amazing exchange, something that is unfathomable to our human thinking. And we just thank you for giving us life, the life that you've given us. So we take this cup now. We share in your death and your resurrection in Yeshua's name. Amen. So buckle your seat belts. You're about to hear from the Speaker of the House. Actually, we know who the Speaker of the House really is. So, Father, we ask now that you